Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. I was really hoping for a children's sermon this morning because it was involving water, walking on water, which would have been awesome and worked with my sermon. But somebody would have been offended because it was going to be the baptismal water. I was going to put it on the floor where it belongs, because that's how we walk on water, is through our baptism. Something we don't think very much about. In this text for today, which is probably one of the most familiar texts, and one of my favorite because it does involve a boat, we know this text really, really well, and we almost always see it from the perspective of Peter. Nicholas Schauser, who is a commentator on this particular text, led me in a direction I hadn't expected to go. He wondered, what if we thought about this from Jesus' point of view? What if this turns out not to be so much a story about Peter, but about Jesus? In this story, the disciples set out in a boat. And they kind of get halfway out in the middle of nowhere, and suddenly the storm comes up. And they're afraid. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a boat, particularly a small boat, in a storm. It is not fun, I can tell you. And panic sets in, even for those of us who are pretty much seasoned sailors, because no matter how long you've been out on the water, one of the things you always remember is the water is always trying to kill you. That's its job. They often say that you are much better off being dumped out in the middle of the Sahara Desert than being dumped in a small boat in the middle of the ocean. So their fear is real, and we understand it. And there they are in the middle of the storm, and here comes Jesus walking across the water. Now, what occurred to me was, if this was a typical gospel lesson about the disciples, it seems to me that they would have cried out in fear, and what would Jesus have done? He's done it before. Well, he'd have just calmed the storm, right? I mean, why not? I mean, why not just make it easy on the disciples and on all of us? Every time there's a great big storm in our life, or something happens to us, or we lose a beloved one, or there's a fire in Maui, why doesn't God just fix it? Doesn't make any sense. But in this story, Jesus walks out on the water. And we don't think much about it. But it's not just the disciples who are in the storm, is it? So is Jesus. It's not like, it's really not like the parting of the Red Sea. I love, being old and decrepit as I am. I remember that wonderful Cecil B. DeMille, wonderful picture of the waters being parted as Moses stands up there with his staff, take it from my cold, dead hand. That was a different thing. But he puts his hand up in the air and the waters go and everything is calm. But not in this story. Jesus walks out into the storm. And he's going to the disciples. He is in it with them. He calls out to the disciples, and they're like, "Is it you, Jesus?" And Peter, I love this, and I really looked at the Greek this time and tried to figure out, is this really a conditional clause or not? And it's unclear. But in the English text, it says, "If it's you, call me out onto the water." And Jesus says, "Come." So again, my curiosity got the better of me. And I thought, so why doesn't Jesus just make a nice, calm path for Peter that he could walk in? Instead, Jesus invites Peter into the storm, into the danger, into the chaos. Well, you know what happens. Peter does what all of us would do. He sinks. And you know the joke. Peter's name in Greek is Rock. And what do rocks do? He's living up to his name. Just as we all do as human beings. So Peter begins to sink. So I wonder about Jesus' question to Peter a little bit later on. You know, he sinks and then Jesus reaches down and pulls him back up. Well, Peter and we sink not because he's evil or unworthy or less than average looks. I mean, he's just Peter. So Peter does what Peter does. And he sinks. And then Jesus wonders, why don't you have more faith? So turn it on its head. For most of my life, I've heard that question, and I thought to myself, because I just don't. Right? It becomes a qualitative thing and a quantitative thing. Peter, if you'd only just had more faith, as if you could somehow go to Costco and buy a Costco-sized package of it to get you through the week. But faith isn't like that, right? I mean, we know from everything else we know about Scripture that faith is complete in itself and it is a gift. And it isn't whether we, you know, go and come to church to have our, and we should be taking a temperature when you come in. We would have a little machine called the faithometer. And see how much you need to get topped up today. But that's not it. Faith is a full and free gift that's given to you and to me and also to Peter. So I wondered why Jesus would ask him that question. Why don't you have more faith, Peter? And I've always associated that with the idea that if only Peter had had more faith than he could have strutted out on that water, and he could have been there with Jesus, and they would have walked back together, they would have had a beer afterwards or a coffee, they could have talked about all the great times they had in the middle of the storm. But it occurs to me this time that maybe Jesus isn't asking that question. I wonder if Jesus is asking Peter, why didn't you just have faith that I would come to you in the boat? Why did you have to come out to me? I was already coming to you. Sometimes we think we need to be running out onto the ocean to find God. We see it in that wonderful text about Elisha, where Elisha has done everything Elijah did everything he was supposed to do, right? Went to the people of Israel, told them all how terrible they were, and guess what? They didn't appreciate it. They didn't like it. And then he's kind of mad because God doesn't seem to be, all the people seem to be still going away from God, and then God says, look, go outside. The Lord will be passing by soon. I love that. I love that thing, right? It's sort of like when you're going to a parade and you're waiting for the horses. The horses are coming. God is coming. And then all of these things happen. And you think that God should be in the wind and that God should be in the rain and in the hail and in the storm and in the earthquake and even in the fire, but God is not there. Sorry. God is in the sheer silence. And God comes to the prophet and says, this is what I want you to do. This is the end of your ministry. You will do these three things, and you will appoint someone else to take over for you. So often in the midst of our despair, we keep seeking God over and over and over again. A friend of mine said, I think this is really a story about all the different places that we seek God. And I said, I don't think so. I think this is a story about all the places God seeks us. In a boat. In despair. In joy. In hopefulness. In apathy. And in sorrow. Those are the places God continues to meet us. And our frantic search to get out of the boat and go into the storm and have God prove that God loves us and wants us and will be with us is fruitless, because God is already coming to us and is with us in the storm. And when God looks at you and at me and at all of those folks who have suffered in Maui, those who have died and lost family members and homes and cars, one person said, "Look, I have nothing." And the very next person interviewed says, "I have my life and my family's life." And a third person said, "I lost someone I love." And God was not in the fire, but God was in the midst of it. And in the sheer silence that followed, in the aftermath and ashes, God is present. And God will continue to be present as your hands and my hands and hands literally around the world reach out to those who feel they are in the storm, in a little boat, and completely lost. And through us, God will come to them. And we will reach down, and we will pull them up. Because God has first pulled us up. So in the sheer silence of these days to come, listen to what God is calling all of us to do and to be. And know that Christ is in the storm with us, walking on the water to come to us. And that in His death and resurrection, we will be reborn and transformed. And the lives of those who have suffered most will be buoyed up by the hope and love that you will bring as the body of the risen Christ. Lean into the silence and the hope, for God is here with us. Amen. Our worship continues with the hymn of the day, the number of which is conveniently printed in your bulletin.